Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green. Joining me today is Steve Lasker. Hey, Steve.
How you doing, Robert?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime. Just floating on by.
Excellent. Steve's here today to talk about containers and Docker, which is a huge subject. It's all the rage. Big buzzwords, microservices, containers, lots and lots of people talking about it. There's a cover story on Software Development Times 2 months in a row. So what I want us to cover today is, so I'm a Visual Studio developer. Mm-hmm. What do I need to know about containers, right? What are they? What problem are they solving?
Why
do I care? Is it a problem that I have? What can I do with them? How do I use them? Did I leave anything out? That pretty much covers it.
Yeah, there's a big buzz about it. What does it mean to me? Especially because there's a lot of buzz around, you know, Docker is a Linux concept or is thought about to be Linux.
But there's going to be Windows containers, and Visual Studio's got Docker tooling, which you now own.
Yep.
So we're going to do something a little bit different for this one. Usually I tell the guests, no or very few slides. Let's spend the whole time in demo. We're actually going to flip that this time. It's a bit of an experiment, maybe. We're going to spend most of the time talking. We've got a great slide deck to help. We will do demos towards the end, but this show is going to be more about understanding the concept, less about how you do it.
Yeah, we've got lots of great content on how do you do it, but it's just sometimes you need a picture of why do I care? How do all these moving parts work?
You should never learn how to do something before you learn why, I always think.
Okay. That's one style.
That's my philosophy. New technology comes along. The first thing you want to know is what is this thing? What does it do? What problem was it designed to solve?
Yeah.
Then I think you go on and
that
learn
does
it.
Help.
That's
yeah.
my philosophy.
I think that's a good philosophy.
All right.
So we'll start with just think about as development works today, right? You've got some local development environment. And you're very thinking environment based. I'm building my app and I'm deploying to different environments. So here, and then I have to duplicate that environment in like for user acceptance testing. I want somebody to go test this app out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have this list of requirements that somebody has to go build this environment out. And of course, we're getting better now with like provisioning stuff in the cloud with ARM templates, Azure Resource Manager, and so forth. But you still have to build that environment out.
Right.
And then you use a build server, perhaps, and you would deploy your app into this existing environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope the environment is the way we want it. And we hope that somebody didn't go fix it one way or the other.
Okay.
And of course, in staging, we'll do the same thing. And then production, we will, again, build out these different environments, and we want to deploy our app into them. But we know that
it works perfectly.
Yeah, it works, right? You know, we got all these great
everything
tools.
Went to the right place. Everybody's happy. What's the problem?
There's no problem there, I guess. Well, now you've got this. Now you're working on the cool new app, but now somebody asks you to go fix something in that app you built like 6 years ago, maybe even longer.
Right.
Which is also running on those same machines. And think about that complexity of, well, in this case, I'm using a different version of SQL Server. I might even be using MSMQ. There's just different technologies which now I have to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I need to test this out. I'll wipe out that environment and I'll reset it with the requirements from this one. And because it's so old, who knows if I actually have the requirements right? Because somebody might have made a fix on the production server. So we hope we have that all managed. And there's a lot of process that people put in place to do this, right? So that we make sure that we are deploying to now a mixed environment and we hope everything works because I have this one set of machines that I have two sets of technologies working in.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple newbie type questions. The development environment, that problem can be solved through virtual machines, right?
Right.
Okay, so at production, this app's already up and running.
Yep.
And it already works, presumably.
Presumably.
So what's my concern there? It's possible that we've probably torn down the staging server, probably torn down the user acceptance server because the app went through those, was into production, so we needed space.
Fine,
so I can see where there's an issue there. Do I have the same issue at production?
Yeah, you
maybe.
Might. Maybe. Somebody might have made a change directly to production. Some patch was put onto it. The point is
that could possibly be why you had to go back to the app.
It could be, right.
Right. Okay.
So the point is that you're actually treating them as two separate things and we have to mimic those environments. And it gets a little complex. And until you know different, we just accept it as the way it is.
Okay.
So the idea of containers, so that's just our problem today. Containers was based on this shipping container concept. And we'll kind of explore that a little bit, right? There's just lots of these containers that, you know, people use. And the reason they did it, similar to what we do in development now, although I wasn't doing development in the black and white days, but you know, it just goes to show how long this problem has been solved and how well it's worked, right? When we used to, they used to load containers or load cargo, every time you moved it, you had to deal with all the pieces. And it might have fit in that truck. It might not have fit in this other one. There was a lot of hand-holding that went into that.
Easier for stuff to get lost.
It was very inefficient, a lot of damage. And even the way that the ships would have to come into port, they had to stay in port longer because it took them longer to load the ships.
Right.
So after that, there was this, they came up with this concept. I forgot the guy's name because I hid the slide. There's this guy in the 1950s that said, well, this is kind of silly. Let me come up with a standard. Mm-hmm. And he did. So now we think of containers as a way to just put stuff in. And it could be packages the way you might think about it. It might be round stuff in a square hole. Who cares? You own the container, whatever goes in there. And people, of course, get very creative in how they stuff things in there. And there's software that even helps figure out how to calculate how to populate a container.
And then the beautiful thing about it is the ship or whatever the container's going on doesn't need to care about what's in the container. Right. All it knows is here's a box of this size. And
you get it in the box.
It's constructed to a certain standard.
Yep. And there's a couple of different sizes they have, right?
Right.
And of course, you know, even trying to fit stuff in there, it gets a little creative because that actually is on its side to fit in there. So just, you know, give you an idea of what it's like to put things in containers. But to your point, now when I want to host a container or in the container world, ship a container, because it's a standard size, I can put it up on a truck. Mm-hmm. I could put it on a train. I can fly it around. I feel like I got a green eggs and ham thing coming here, but I don't. Or the equivalent here is you have big ships and little ships on the amount of containers it can support.
Yep.
So imagine that was different size hosts that you have in your data center that you could host many
the
of them.
A container does the exact same thing regardless of where it is, which is contain a bunch of stuff.
Right, right.
Which is going to be a very important point when we relate this to the world of software.
Yes. And of course, we have small containers. They might be local.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have your local development environment of how you want to get that container running around.
I assume those guys aren't pirates?
I make no judgment. It's a free world.
Okay.
So translating it back to software, where we actually can translate from physical to software now, it gets even more interesting. But I can do it locally. You know, my little boat scenario is I can host those containers locally. With Linux, we have something called Boot to Docker that allows you to host a Linux host on a Windows machine so I can deploy into it. For Windows, right now we're using Hyper-V, but they are working on some solutions there so I can have local development of Hyper-V containers as well. We just released this last week, whatever the day was last week.
So then that does beg the question, which I know you address at some point, the difference between a container and a VM.
Right. So we'll jump ahead to that, actually. So, but you have physical servers, might be on-prem. And this is actually one of the really nice things about containers, is it's a way for me to start building my app, can test it on my machine, but I could also put it in my data center.
Mm-hmm.
And if I prep it for that, then I could easily move it to Azure, or I might go to AWS and might come back. The point is that we have different ways of hosting those containers, and that is a standard, and that is transportable, whether it be my on-prem, in Azure, or some other cloud. And there's many of clouds out there that host containers. So it gives me a lot of ability to not have a platform lock-in. So that's kind of nice. So the concept of containers, because we're now in the software world, instead of it just being like a physical box that has physical stuff in it that, you know, other than Star Trek, I can't really replicate that very well.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is this concept of images. And you take a definition, actually you take a built container and you save it as an image. Think of it as a template. It's actually more than a template. It's it's like a sort of like a sysprepped image. And you have this image. It's not running. It's on disk, it's ready to be instanced. And you can create a catalog of these things. And now what I can do is I can have I showed here, I got front end, logic, caching, persistence, the typical things you'd break up an app for. And now I can instance those images. In Docker terms, it's called Docker run. So okay. I run an image, and now I ran two copies of the logic. And staging, I might want to do a couple more copies. But the point is, these are exact replicas. They are instances of not just my app, but the environment as well. So the web server's in there, the database is in there, the OS is actually on those
containers. So are each of these containers, and how do they talk to each other?
So the host has networking on it, and it has an IP address. And typically what we do is the containers in that host are referenced through NAT. So they actually don't have their own dedicated IP address on the outside. Mm-hmm. They can communicate through the host. On each one, we'll say the front ends, they have port 80. You might have a load balancer in front of it to go through all those. So the load balancer would be listening on port 80, okay. and it would route to one of the other ones. And it, there's basically, through some of the Docker stuff, there's linking containers. And you can specify that I want this one to be this particular node. And it once they get instanced, they get linked together.
So if I put a container that's listening on port 80 up there, and you put a container, entirely different app listening on port 80,
Not the same host, right?
Because,
and that's, but there's a way to map them in there.
Okay.
We'll show that a little bit later when I do the demos. So the point here is just the concept is images that we I was trying to convey here is that you have these images of these containers and I can just instance them. So now compared to those other things we did before where I had completely different environments mixed in, or completely different apps mixed in the same environment, now I have a much better isolation because really all I need is these container hosts and it doesn't care what's in them. It just knows how to host containers like the ship was.
Right.
And it just instances.
So at this point, it's all about isolation. It's all about taking the app or pieces of the app and putting it into basically pieces or parts that can be deployed in multiple places.
In multiple places. And the thing is, you're taking your environment with you.
Mm-hmm.
When you're building it on your machine, you are actually building the OS and the app components. So it kind of referred to as production realism. I can take what's in development and literally move that exact thing into production and take it from production back in. And this is just kind of a fun thing. You know, it's just, and when stuff happens, because it's in a container, I don't have to worry about fixing that environment.
Right.
I just toss it out, fix it, and deploy another one.
And you can't take down the whole machine, although in this example,
There are some differences between software and hard, physical. But it's just
there's something wrong with the container. It doesn't take down the rest of the machine because it's isolated, and then you can just swap out the container. Right.
And you know, think about some of the cases here. So we think about patching, machines. In the Docker world, you don't want to patch the containers because that's one of the problems we have. Right? You patch a container, and now you have a security thing just broke your app. Mm-hmm. You would patch the host per se. But the container, what you're going to do is, in your development environment, you're going to apply the patches to the image that you're using as your base image, test it there, and then you roll out the updates as part of the containers. So this way you know everything is tested.
Okay.
So just some ideas. And so the idea is that you are replacing, you're not updating, was really kind of the message that was fun here, other than just to find some fun images on containers. Now, we do have Windows containers as well, so that's kind of a nice thing. You don't have to start developing in Linux just to be able to use containers. We did ship a preview. It is early. We definitely want the feedback. We'll have some links here for you to follow up on that.
So to elaborate on that, you're not necessarily developing in Linux. You would build the application on your Windows machine in Visual Studio and then deploy it as a container to Windows or Linux or Mac or other things?
Yeah, so it kind of gets a little interesting. The idea here is not that you're trying to build your app that easily runs on both. It's not like we're thinking about devices. The idea is that there is value in using Linux or there's value in using Windows.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring the container concept to the Windows developer, .NET developer. So we will have a Windows container story. that's the main message. So you don't, it's not really about trying to intermix them. What we do have, so it does get a little confusing. We do have some shops that says we are standardizing on Linux.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use containers. We're going to use Linux containers and deal with it. And you have a shop of .NET developers
right.
that are like, now what? With ASP.NET 5, you can use your .NET skills and deploy that to a Linux environment. So that's the main value prop there. It's not that we want developers that are happy with .NET and have Windows. It's like, nope, we got to go to Linux.
Right.
No, it's you can use Windows containers and stay in .NET. If your shop happens to be a Linux shop, you don't have to lose.
Or you've written an app, you're selling it to a new customer, and that customer is a Linux, has Linux servers, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the idea, if it's containers, hopefully that it's easy enough to deploy a Windows container in that case. Because that has been one of the historic problems, right? Is, oh, I got to host this whole Windows environment or our Oracle environment or whatever. Now the idea is they're just in containers, it becomes a much more manageable
right,
solution.
So isn't that one of the big benefits of it is that I create a container of essentially a Windows application.
Right.
And I can then run it on a Linux machine. What am I missing here?
Yeah, that's not kind of the goal of what we're trying. We're not trying to magically take the software and make it run in other operating systems. It's more a matter of I can take my app and the dependencies of it, I treat it as one and I shrink it down. So instead of, like, I don't need print spoolers. I don't need, you know, some of the network file sharing features of, you know, a Windows Server image. Shrink it down to just the core parts, and now I can get much greater density because each container takes up less space. That's really what we're trying to do, is make it easy for you to deploy lots of these things in an environment. It's not a matter of trying to make an app work on other OSs.
But if I write an ASP.NET app that is, you know, using lots of .NET services and, you know, it is essentially, it's running in IIS and I'm using C#. And so to me, that's a ASP.NET app that's running on Windows.
Right.
I understand that you know, HTML is portable, and I understand that C# is portable, and I understand there's a lot of work going on to make .NET portable.
Right.
But, you know, I wrote this on Windows, it's running on Windows, and now it's, you know, internal expense reporting app. Ours is written as an ASP.NET app.
Sure.
So I now want to sell it to your company, and you say, well, that's awesome, works great, but we have Linux servers. Does this solve that problem?
It gives you the capability of doing that. I would actually say there's two things that come into play there. I have this technology that I've written in .NET, and can I run it on other OSs? With ASP.NET 5 and the new core CLR, you can run that in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
What we find, though, is most people will wind up taking advantage of different, you know, OS dependencies. So I wouldn't say it's like this magic promise that your app will now run on Linux. It's more about you can. I think that'll be more of an option. What's interesting, though, is what I think is containers actually changes the game, because now instead of it being much harder to host a bunch of Windows machines, now you're just hosting a Windows container. So I think it'll be a choice between shops and how they want to do that.
But it's still Windows code running on a Linux machine, right?
No. When you're running a Windows container, it's all Windows. The host is Windows, the container is Windows.
When you're running a Windows,
when you're doing Windows containers. And you're walking right into the complexity of this whole thing of what does this all mean? Because I got Linux, I got Windows, am I mixing and matching? And
right.
There are lots of different pieces here that get combined together that I think make it confusing. Windows containers run in a Windows host. Linux containers run in a Linux host. So you do need to have a container host that is matching that OS. Because there's networking, there is some dependencies there. But the idea is, because they are so contained in a container, that it's easier to manage. Because now I don't have this really, people that have to host different OSs and for apps, they have to know a lot of detail around the app, right? How many times have you heard that the ops guys wind up getting embedded in the development team, you know, early on or certainly towards the end, so they know how to run this thing?
Right.
Because there's this intermixture. Now that it's kind of like the guy at the dock, right? He doesn't need to know what's inside of it. He probably needs to know the weight, a couple of details, whether it needs to be refrigerated or something or not turned sideways. Like, you're not supposed to turn containers sideways, despite what that picture showed. All they need to know is, I'm going to host this container. So now the DevOps people or the ops people don't need to have as much intimate knowledge because it is self-contained. That's the main value prop.
Right, but the containers, is the container a runtime?
The container is everything. The container is your OS.
So it's the OS. So I'm essentially, okay, so in that sense, it's similar in concept to a VM. So I take a container that is a Windows container, put it on a Linux machine. That Linux machine is now running Windows?
You're not
going to
take a Windows container and run it on a Linux machine.
So how do I make a Linux container if I'm a Visual Studio guy running on Windows?
Okay, so let's... this is the fun part. All right.
Yes.
So if you are building a Windows app, you can now, because we've released Windows containers in preview, you can now build a container that is a Windows container. It is the Windows OS.
Okay.
It's Windows Core OS. We've talked about Nano coming out, which is a smaller version of that in the future. And you've got a minimized version of the OS. Like, you don't have Explorer, you don't have, you know, things that you just don't need in a hosting environment. And that is the OS. It is the app. It's the networking, the firewall rules. Everything is now, you know, compact and contained. And I test it here locally. I go into staging. There's stuff that gets linked together, so it knows when I want to find the database or what other container I communicate to. Mm-hmm. You can declare that, and they get linked together. Separately, if I want to target a Linux container, because I do have an environment that has to be Linux, I can do that as well. And you can use things like boot to Docker, which boot to Docker is a Linux host, so it knows how to host containers. It's like that truck that says, I know how to own a container, and it is a Linux container. So I'm on my Windows machine, and boot to Docker is a way to say I am going to host a Linux host and then put Linux containers in that Linux host. That's a little bit of the shim. Is that kind of what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so does that then require .NET running on Linux?
And that, well, it depends on what you want to do. You could put PHP in that too.
I suppose, yeah.
In this case, one of the things that we are doing with the .NET Core is allowing you to keep your .NET skills and still deploy to Linux.
Okay.
So that's the piece there.
Okay, so then you've got this ASP.NET app, again, written in C#, runs great on Windows.
Yep.
I can create a Windows container and run it on a Windows machine.
Yep.
And then go and I say to you, I want you to use this app. You say, well, I have Linux. So I would then take that ASP.NET app, get it running on Linux,
right,
make it a container, and put it on your Linux box.
And the thing about that there is, you know, there's lots of versions of Linux.
Yes.
So instead of having that list of requirements, what I can do is I will build my app in Linux, create an image. In fact, I could put the image up on a public repo and say, hey, you want this thing, go grab this image.
Okay.
Don't worry about all the details of which version of Linux and everything, because everything is self-contained.
Right.
That's part of the container story.
Got it.
Is
now
that good?
I understand, yes.
Well, I don't know.
So I'm assuming.
I just made it all up.
I'm assuming and hoping that the folks watching this had the same question I do. Either that, or they just watched me get educated.
No, it is really.
Which
confusing.
Is always good TV.
It is very confusing. It's one of those you walk into it and you forget. You know, once you've gotten past it, you know, you look back going, "Wow, that was really confusing." But there was a lot to it.
Okay, cool.
So just back to the Windows story here. You know, so locally we're developing. Instead of pushing the app, we actually push the whole image, right? That's the thing we've been talking about, the OS and the app into a repo. I can then instance that image like we did before. It's run, I can use the right vernacular. And the operations can actually, you know, point to it. We can also bring it back, say, hey, I'm having trouble. They go, all right, let me take that image, I'll run it again, figure out what's going on. And you just iterate and keep on shipping those out in different versions.
Right. Cool.
So the part here is, you know, what about .NET developers? You know, what do we think about with containers? That was
and
the other part.
Which applications does this make sense for? Is it just web apps? Is it services? Is it my internal line of business apps running WinForms or WPF?
Right.
who gets to use this?
So containers are a server technology, right? And I certainly know that people are building WinForm apps or WPF apps, and they do, you know, a remote desktop into Hyper-V instances, what do we talk, terminal server stuff, for various different reasons, the deploying to the client. I wouldn't say that's the main sweet spot here. It's more of the services that those clients may use.
Okay.
Right? So you have a bunch of WinForms, WPF, ASP.NET apps, whatever, and they have a set of services they need to function. You might have this big honking app that you've been building over time, right? With a whole bunch of services there, WCF, ASMX, REST, OData, whatever.
Yep.
And the UI is partly in there as well. And it's kind of a big, you know, piece of code that you've managed. And maybe you have some DLLs and managed it as well. But we often see that people build DLLs as a component to that app. It's not really a service or hosting boundary.
Right.
So that's kind of the fun I kind of had here a little bit, is you got this big thing. Is it really ready to be containerized? So I could take this house, and I don't know if it's that easy to really transport all that well. Kind of a little difficult there. And this one wasn't any more helpful either. You know, yes, you can do it, but that's really not the goal. And of course, is your app really prepared to move? Because, you know, stuff happens. But anyway, I like pictures on the internet. It's really a matter of how can you build your app so that it scales. So if I build them in containers like this, then, you know, you could kind of grow it up pretty weird.
Right. It's just another iteration on the theme that we've been talking about for many, many years, and sometimes do and sometimes don't, of breaking the big chunks down into smaller pieces, which, you know, is a lot about what microservices are. The smaller and more self-contained functionality or pieces of code or a thing is, the easier it is to move it around and put it someplace where it will scale.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is just, in some sense, this is just the latest iteration of that that same old excellent advice that
we've been talking about for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, even cars, right? They're made up of components that are interchangeable.
Right.
And this is just a new way of componentizing those pieces.
Yep.
So let's just kind of go through this a little bit more. So you might normally think of breaking up the front end, the logic, caching, and persistence, and then you could scale those things out. The thing that I want
to... Or, go back one more. Okay, so now advance.
Okay. Making fun of my slide?
No. I just want to make the point that it is possible that your front end is not containerizable. Again, if your front end is WPF for WinForms, it's not going to go in a container.
Fair enough.
But the rest of this stuff as a service could.
Fair enough. The content I've been focused here is on web service.
Right. Well, that's, yeah.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
So instead of thinking about trying to break your app up this way, this is the kind of things that you would do differently with containers. And honestly, containers are just, like you said, I might still do this with the way I might have built a bunch of servers that are multi-hosted in an environment as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing to think about prepping that house to be moved or building a better house that is more transportable is, instead of breaking it up in the UI, take a look at the pieces of the app that really need a scale. And if instead of building them as DLLs, build them as these microservices, the capabilities that themselves are somewhat contained. They have dependencies, but then themselves are contained. So the top green one, I've kind of broken up in the things that I know my users use a lot of, right? We hope, you know, it's a typical e-commerce scenario.
Mm-hmm.
They're shopping, they're looking at products, hopefully they're putting lots of things in their basket, and the payment gateway is always an interesting one. The back office stuff, you know, like I'm managing my list of products, I'm doing email campaigns, my customer service people are getting in there and trying to figure out what happened. There's only a couple people that are doing that, right? I don't need nearly as many of those. And we'll have the UI associated with those maybe in the same container.
Okay.
And you might want to break that out as well, but the point is that I've broken it up not by layers of the stack, so to speak, as opposed to the functionality that I think will need to scale. So now, I just simplified this. Because I've done it this way, now I can say that green one is a Docker image, and I'm going to instance a whole bunch of them, where the purple one, I might only need one or two. I might have two just for some redundancy. So that's okay. The thing to think about is, to your point about microservices, is let's break up the app into not just DLLs, but service boundaries that I can say, this thing isn't so much that it gets reused by a bunch of other apps, but this thing I might have to have a bunch of instances running.
Right.
And that's, you know, a different way to think about how we do app design.
Cool.
So anyway, so there's that. What else do we have in here? So that was just, you know, the micro and being composable, so you can stand it up. There, you know, we don't want to be container-ish. Kind of fun. There's some Dutch theater that has this in the back. So I wouldn't call those containers. So just as people are building their apps and they're trying to break it up, I mean, there is some great technologies out, and it is a matter of learning them. Want to do some demos?
Sure, always.
So what we have here is, I've got just a copy of Visual Studio here, right? It's just, let's see here. It's an ASP.NET 5 app. So I did create a new project, ASP.NET 5, and I just added a little bit of stuff to it to show Windows or Linux. If you install our Docker tools, this is one of the things that we've added here, that when I first go into-
Which are available in the Visual Studio Gallery.
We'll put a link that people can go find it. If you're targeting ASP.NET 5, and you know you can't deploy an ASP.NET 4.6 app to a container, because right now we only do the core COR. That's all that works on Linux and on Windows at this point.
Does that imply that we will support that in the future?
That'd be good feedback to give us.
Okay.
You know, so we have heard customers that do have expectations, certainly on Windows, that they can get the full framework. And that's the thing that the teams from Windows to the ASP.NET teams are trying to digest, like, what exactly does that mean?
Right.
Because there are challenges there.
Okay.
So for the point of tooling, you'll get this if it's an ASP.NET 5 app and you click publish, you'll see Docker containers. And then what you can do is, from here, I can choose one of a containers that I already, a host that I can deploy my container into, and that's what's here, or I can provision a new container host.
Okay.
So this is, in my app, I'm going to build containers, but I need a place, I need that ship to hold it, a little boat, big boat, whatever. In Azure, if I go there, you can instance a VM, a Linux VM, or a Windows Server TP3 or 2016 image, but it's a little bit complex to set up. You need to get the VM instance, you want a secure channel, so you need certs from the client to the server, you want ports enabled. So in this experience, we're doing that for you. So I can go and specify it, you know, the region, I specify a name, and then I've got different images now for my host. So that's what, you know, I choose Windows or Linux here. And, you know, the size of the hardware you're targeting. And then you need a username and password. And what that's about is when I do want to remote into that machine, what is the username and password I need? Because it is a server that's instanced.
And that's it. This brings that. You're publishing at the solution level or at the project level?
Well, here what I'm doing is it does get a little confusing here, too. So we're saying we want to target, let's go, where is my Windows? I don't know. Anyway, let's say I was trying to deploy into that one.
But you're deploying this project, this solution. If I'm going to build five containers, how many solutions, how many projects do I need in Visual Studio?
That depends. In this case, I'm specifying that this is my app, my entry point. So I've picked a project.
Okay.
We're using the same publishing experience that I would normally do.
Okay.
But it just so happens that the thing I want to publish to doesn't exist yet. That's the piece that we're enabling tooling here.
Okay.
So now I can say I don't have a container host. I can go create one here. And if you provide the information, including we will create the certs for you if they're not there, or we'll reuse the same ones.
Okay.
And when I hit OK, it'll go off and provision that VM. So that's kind of really helpful. Or, and then once that's done, so now it'll go off, and it does take a while. Right. It's got to go out to Azure, and we do save the PowerShell scripts and the ARM templates to do that. So we see, in fact, I've done this a couple of times now. There's the PowerShell script, and then there's my ARM template and parameter files for ARM Azure Resource Manager.
Okay.
So it's a way to declare, you know, what I need in Azure to, you know, have my hardware yep. provision for me. So we save that out. So this is the host. This is the things that, this is like the ship, right? This is where my containers are going to go. So once I have that, then when I go to publish, and you can see I've already got, remembered it, it will come in and say, oh, well, you want to go to this Docker Tools WDH2 host. I'm going to name the image. Remember that there's a name for those. I have a Docker file. So the Docker file is your app's definition of the requirements of the container.
Okay.
And I can pick those on disk. In this case, I'm able to publish to both Windows and Linux, so I have to have different Docker files because the Linux host needs to know what puts in Linux and the Windows host needs to know what goes in Windows. This was that port mapping you were asking about. So on the host, the ship, it's listening on port 80. And I might want to publish, you know, because I'm going to have a bunch of these things on here, the container is going to be on port 8080. Mm-hmm. So now it can route between those, or it can do 8081, you know, so on and so forth. You can validate your connection, make sure that that security is working, and there's some advanced options in here as well, so that if you want to put some additional parameters, and this is what's nice, once you know Docker, you can put all those values in there, we'll remember it. And when you hit publish, it'll go off and do it. In fact, what do I have this here? This is a Windows one. That's fine. Let's do that. We'll go off and publish it. So we're taking that app. And the way Docker works is you first, of course, have to build your app. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm going to compile my app, get all the binaries, get it all ready. Instead of just copying that content to an existing environment, what it's going to do is read this Docker file. We took the Windows one. And we're going to say, from a image, the Windows Server Core image, add my app, the output directory of what we're doing. You kind of see the commands flying by on the bottom there. Set a working directory, and then make the entry point, because you don't necessarily know what's owning Windows. It could be doing different things.
Right.
So that's the entry point to it. So this is the definition of that container that my app will go into. So what it'll do is it's right now sending the app from my machine, right, and it's building it up. Mm-hmm. It's going to send it up to that host, the Windows Docker host, whatever I call the machine name. It's going to say, here's the content, here's the Docker file. It's going to ask it, hey, go build a container for me with this core image. Do you have one? Yeah, I've got it right here. Fine. Goes really quick. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't have it, it can look at different repos and say, oh, I need this. And it'll go grab that from, you know, different repos that I think you could have private or public. So it'll, now it's adding that app to there, right? You see the from Windows Server Core, it's going to add the app. And now it's starting to build out that whole container for us. And it'll create that image. And then once the image is done, it'll run that image into a Docker host, and it will spin up for us and launch a page. So let's, while that's doing that, let's come over here to command line here. Let's see, which one am I on? Let's just clear this out. So I'm at a standard command prompt, right? Nothing special. Just hit run command. And what I want to do is set, set this up to point to my Windows host that I've got out in Azure. So here I'm saying my host, I can set some variables here. So when I do Docker commands, it remembers them. I'm setting it to a TCP address of, that's where my server lives. And the 2376 is a secure channel. Mm-hmm. So now all my communications are secure. And that's where the TLS verify thing is there as well. So now I can just say, hey, Docker, my Docker client, right? I'm working here locally. Send a list of, tell me what's running on that host that I've specified above. Okay. So you can see I already have this one. We did it about an hour ago here. And that's an image that's already running. In fact, we can make this a little wider here. And you can see it's on port 80.
Yep.
In TP3, we don't list the ports. So we just named it for now just to help people. What's
TP3
doing?
Is
Technical Preview 3 of Windows Server.
Okay.
So now that's there. And if I say Docker images, we'll see the Docker images that are on there. So you can see right now it's still building the one below. We can see it down here.
Yep.
But the one we did a while ago, about 51 minutes ago, it's still there. So that's the app that we built. It's based on this Windows Server Core image, and it's kind of layered up. Now, while that's running, actually, I'm going to switch this over to Linux, and we'll take a look at some stuff that I have there. So on Linux, I have that same app running. And if I say Docker images, we'll see the two there. What I can do is say I want to instance another copy of that same image, right? Remember, we had the images down below, and I want to make another one. So we'll put that there. We'll say run interactive detach and pass these environment variables in, which is the stuff you see in ASP.NET. Take the port 8080 and map it to port 80 on the server, on the host 8080 and on the container port 80, and then just give a name to it, and then instance this image.
Yeah.
So if I just do that, that quickly it took that image and instanced it. So if we come over here, and actually, that's our Windows desktop host. That's our Linux, yeah. So if I hit this one, that's there, but I can also go 8080. And then there's another instance of it. Notice the OS is Linux. And if I go, if I take the 8080 off, we'll see I have the other container. So notice the host name is changing there. So I have two ASP.NET 5 images running, one in port 80, one in port 8080.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if this, that's still, oh, it says running. So let's take a look here. So now I have my Windows one, and notice I have Windows there, so that's all good. I think we put another one on port 8080 here. We'll see if that's up yet. And it is. Whoops. I messed up. Port 8080, let's put that on there again. Okay, so let's come back over here. We'll clear this out. I'm going to put it back to Windows. I'm just setting my environment variables to be Windows. So now if I do a Docker PS on that one, we have
the second only one's not up yet.
No, I guess it's still.
It said it was
error during publish. Okay, well, that's no problem. We can instance another one here. So let's take a look at Docker images. And about a minute ago. So basically, so again, Windows still early. We do have some challenges there, but that's okay. What I'm going to do is the image actually made it to the server.
Right.
It built another update of the image, and we could see about a minute ago. So what I can do is say Docker run, and do I have one on, I have one on 80, so we'll make this 8080. What happened is when it tried to run it and make another container running in that one is what failed. So rather than having to do the whole thing over again, I can just ask it to make another one for me. And we'll see if this works here.
So you published it once, and then you essentially cloned it.
Yeah, that's what's kind of interesting about publishing. It's and I've been trying to get better about using the right words, right? You're creating an image,
right,
and you publish the image up, but it's not instanced. It's not running yet. It's just sitting there. And that part was successful.
Mm-hmm.
I got the image. It just couldn't actually spin up the container or run it. So let's Docker PS. Let's see if it is running. It is running this time. So now we'll see if it comes up. And this is actually one of the things that we've been hearing from customers that have questions about it. Did I go to 80 or 81? 80. Get that one, yes. Did you get it that time? No, hold on a second. Sometimes you get a little caching going here and it gets a little confused. Come on, demo gods, be good with me. And what's interesting here is this is some of the feedback we've been getting is Docker is really good in my development environment. How do I manage it in production to make sure these things are spinned up and running? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of interesting tools and technologies that are coming out there. Mesos is really interesting. We're trying to figure out what we should be doing to kind of improve that experience as well. This might be because I don't have the firewall rule open. I think that's what I messed up here. Let's try our Linux one. Okay, there we go. So we do have the base Windows one. It's just the second one. I didn't publish the second firewall rule to open up port 8080.
On
the Windows host. So okay. With Windows, all Windows containers do have firewalls on them.
Okay.
So, you know, we have the whole secure by default kind of thing going. So we open up port 80 by default. We don't open up any other ports.
Okay.
So I'd have to manually open that up.
And can that be done in the command prompt?
Yeah, it can be. It's on the host that you need to do that.
Okay.
So when you initially provision the container host, you would say what ports you want to have open. And that's where you can use the PowerShell scripts and the ARM templates to say, when this host is provisioned, do this behavior to it, including firewall configuration. So that's kind of the basic pieces there.
That's awesome.
We'll get rid of that error and make it look nice and clean. Now, if we look close, what you're seeing, though, is we have lots of pixels we paint on the screen to make things easy, but we are using the Docker CLI.
Right.
So if you look at the output window, you'll be able to repeat everything we've done there, including all the ARM templates and everything.
And then we just make it easier for you to do this inside Visual Studio. You can, of course, do it in the command prompt if that's
you
what
can do it
into.
In command prompt.
Or
we've
other
done
third
stuff
party
in Visual
tooling, no doubt.
Yep.
Right.
And we've done stuff in Visual Studio Code where mm-hmm. we get IntelliSense on your Docker files. What's really cool is there, and unfortunately I don't have it on this machine, when you're saying from, instead of just being the normal IntelliSense that you would have from some XML file locally, it actually queries the repo that you're targeting, mm-hmm. and it'll list the images as you type. So it's actually pretty cool what they've
very
done
cool.
there.
Yeah.
So I hope that was... Is that
that's
more helpful?
Awesome, yes. It clears up, I think it cleared up a lot of confusion.
Okay. Didn't confuse you more?
No, it certainly cleared up a bunch of my confusions as we witnessed. That's
so
great.
We are. It's early. We are looking mm-hmm. for a lot of feedback. Obviously, Windows is looking yep. for a lot of feedback on what they should be doing with their container story. From a tooling story, we're very interested in what we can do to improve the scenarios. Yes, we've done this stuff with publishing in Visual Studio, yeah. but if you're in Eclipse or you're in VS Code or you're trying to manage your production environment, what's going on there? What are the pain mm-hmm. points that people are having?
Right.
That's the things we're really interested in hearing about.
So what I'd like to do as a follow-up to this at some point is actually take an app that obviously will build it to be containerizable. It's not going to be about how you take your non-container app and
fair.
Make it containerizable. I just made up that word. But take Somebody an app.
Can. Why can't you make up words?
And actually then show taking this application and moving the containers around and do something that's all demo all with a
yeah,
real
yeah,
app.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot
There's
of great content. We can
yeah.
we can do some more.
But again, I think this was awesome to understand the concepts and really get a handle on what this thing is. And
cool.
Excellent.
All
thanks
right,
so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Hope you guys enjoyed that, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.